You are listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast, a show for women who are chasing their everyday and epic adventures. This podcast is hosted by Christy Moan and me, Katherine Taylor, and powered by Feisty Media.
There we go.
Hey.
I found the record button the first time after our practice.
Really good. Boom.
I've missed you.
I know. How have you been?
I've been good. You were in Patagonia.
I was in Patagonia.
And then we've both been like super insanely busy.
Yeah. It's been nuts.
Yeah.
But we're here.
We're here. We're back. We're here.
And you lined up quite the duo for us to start off with.
I know. Well, we get to talk to a friend of mine, Danny, Danny Oberbaugh, who is doing Race Across America. And I've known Danny since my Atlanta days. I met her when I worked at the bike shop there. And just to give you she's just this amazing cyclist that does all these ultra endurance things. And one time we went to do hill repeats together. And I think at some point she was like three hill repeats ahead of me. Because we were going up and down the same hill. She's just so like so freaking strong on the bike. Awesome. It's insane. But then also on that team is my friend Katie Aguilera, who did Unbound.
Yeah.
We stayed in the same house in Unbound, and she did her tri shorts. I think she has a crotch of steel. Sorry, Katie, if you're listening to the podcast, that's the first thing I ever said about you on the podcast. But just like Danny talks about her, just an amazing friend. But she wasn't on today, but we had Vicky Anstey, who, oh my gosh, she's like, well, I don't have quite the pedigree as Danny, and then told us all the things she's done. And I'm like,
yeah,
the Guinness World Book of World Record certificate right behind her.
Yeah.
So awesome. You guys are really going to love this episode today.
It's really good.
And I think that's all we have to say.
Yeah. Listen
up. Words. All right, we'll get on to our interview.
Hey, all. It's your editor, Lindsay, here. I want you to get ready to ante up for the Ultimate Gravel Challenge this summer. Join us at the 2024 Trans Rockies Gravel Royale, where adventure awaits in the breathtaking Canadian Rockies. Experience the thrill of a unique 3-day stage race surrounded by stunning scenery on secluded gravel roads in the British Columbia backcountry. With two distance options, the full pint or half pint distances, there's a challenge for every level of rider. And forget about logistics, Trans Rockies has you covered. Fully supported with tents, meals, aid stations, technical support, and even massage services, so all you have to do is focus on the ride. You'll stay at the picturesque Nipica Mountain Resort, nestled in the heart of the Rockies, and celebrate your achievements with daily podium awards, group dinner, and custom designed memorabilia. After the ride, you can unwind at Chillville with cold refreshments, music, games, and camaraderie with your fellow riders. Don't miss out on this epic adventure. Register now at transrockiesgravelroyale.com and use the code GGG24. GR100 to save $100 off your entry. The link and discount codes will be in the show notes of this episode. Embrace the challenge, conquer the gravel, and create memories that will last a lifetime. So go all in with us for Trans Rockies Gravel Royale this August.
In my defense, Lindsay did tell me that the button is hard to find when she was on the podcast and Christy was gone.
Yeah.
Okay, we're rusty because Christy and I have been off for a few weeks because we've had a lot going on. So since we were off, we had to bring on two guests to come back.
There you go.
So we have Danny or Danielle Oberbaugh. Did I say that right? I've always called you Grable.
Congratulations. Yeah. Sorry. I got rid of that was my burner last name. I had to change identities.
I know. And you changed it since we left Atlanta. And then Vicky Anstey joining us from the UK. So welcome to both of you. We're so glad you're here.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So, okay. We have some big things to chat about with you ladies. There's actually four of you, but we decided two would be better because you all are on a team. You were trying to set the Race Across America record this coming summer, the women's team record. So we want to get all into that. But first, we want to hear your stories of how you got into cycling, how you found the bike.
Who wants to start?
All right. I can start us off. I picked up cycling. Interestingly, I was overweight. So at one point I weighed about 225 pounds. I used to smoke a pack of cigarettes a day and really had a pretty significant health journey to fitness. Went to the doctor, was young. I mean, was in my early 20s, very early. Had a wonderful, amazing physician who set it straight for me, put it all out on the line, told me I needed to get it together. And I did. And during that transformation, I just literally happened to run into a group of triathletes at the gym taking spin class. I thought they were like really cool people. I just loved everything about them. They seemed to have their whole lives together. They just seemed super fit. And I didn't know what a triathlon was, but once I met them, I was like, all right, well, that's it. I'm a triathlete now. So I just kind of labeled myself as a triathlete, picked up the bike, realized pretty early on that, swimming's terrible and that running is even more terrible. And so, I had a talent for the bike. I really had it. I was substantially stronger cycling than anything else. And so really just kind of let the triathlon run its course and did some cool stuff in that space and kind of pivot back and forth. I don't discriminate against anything. If something's hard, I'll do it. I will do CrossFit. I'll do anything. I'll even, you know, I took up pickleball for a while. So I don't discriminate in my sports.
That's awesome. That sounds like go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I keep landing back on the bike because for me, that's just, I keep trying to kind of veer off, but I always end up back on the bike.
I liked your piece about just calling yourself a triathlete. It's like the ultimate fake it till you make it. Just like, I'm a triathlete now. Here we go.
Exactly.
Love it.
Well, and before we move on to Vicky, I do have to say, Danny's underselling herself on some of the things that she's done on the bike, because she has quite a lot of like long distance records. Like she and her husband, do y'all still have the two-man team Race Across the West record?
We do. Sure do. So, yeah.
Race Across the West, you have some state records, and then you did this little thing in Hawaii that maybe you want to tell everybody about.
You were the first woman
to ever complete it.
You are correct. So in the while I was participating in all the triathlons and all that, I was fortunate enough to meet my husband who does the same stuff. And so it was perfect. We just, you know, kind of match made in heaven. He did a triple Ironman in Hawaii. And when he did the triple Ironman in Hawaii, I was introduced to this kind of world of people that were just next level. And there was a race called Epic Five, which is five Ironman distance triathlons in 5 days, one on each of the five islands of Hawaii. And up until that point, it was the event was, I say popular, as popular as an event that, you know, 5 to 10 people tops had done, because Rich Roll wrote a book called Finding Ultra. So a lot of people had read his book and kind of knew what it was. I read the book. I knew what it was. And a woman bought the race and her name was Rebecca. And when I realized that it was a woman owned race and that a woman had never actually participated in it, I was just like, all right, well, I'm an ultra triathlete now. So I just kind of like stuck the ultra onto the triathlete, even though I wasn't one. And I just told my husband that I was going to go to Hawaii and do Epic Five. So I was the first female to complete that. I am very, very proud to announce that since then there have been multiple women that have completed it, and that this year the field is going to be 50% woman or female. So I'm extremely awesome. Proud of that. And yeah.
And if you ever want to do like an ultra thing and you need somebody to send you a book, ask Danny. She like has a book of everything she's done and she'll just send you all her notes.
It's true. I'm pretty organized. So if you sign up for something that I have done, I will then in turn like just hand you over a notebook of like, oh, here you go.
Amazing. All right, Vicky, tell us about you and how the heck you met Danny and how you got into cycling and how the heck you met Danny.
I don't know quite how to follow that. But when it comes to faking it till you make it, I kind of wrote the rule book on that. And that's pretty much what I'm doing right now for Ram. So my cycling journey probably started about a year ago with that. My background is in ultra endurance endeavors, but you know, I haven't always been that person, a little bit like Danny. I actually started out my career in advertising and marketing. I got to a point of being pretty burnt out, and made a massive U-turn into the fitness industry. So I set up my own business and ran that for 12 years. So that was I introduced Bar to the UK, which is obviously something that is far more prolific in the US than it is even still now in the UK, although back then literally no one had ever heard of Bar. So that was a huge kind of leap of faith for me. And that took me into a world of, you know, not only running my own business, but running every single class, sometimes 24 a week, you know, which was pretty much responsible for laying down all of the foundations for a lot of the endurance stuff that I've done since then. So I've gone on to do a program here in the UK called SAS Who Dares Wins. I think you may have similar things in the US, but it's basically a replication of special forces selection for civilians, made for TV. Although the whole experience, I can tell you now, is extremely real. There is absolutely no let up. So I spent 11 days being brutalized pretty much in Chile. In the Andes, which was just an incredible experience. And I then went on to row across the Pacific Ocean from San Francisco to Hawaii, set a new world record of 60 days, 17 hours and 6 minutes, a team of three women. I've run a couple of ultra marathons in some pretty hostile environments across the Arctic Circle and in Kenya, distances of like 250 kilometers. So they're events over 5 days where you're pretty much carrying everything that you need to survive. And again, the seed for doing RAM was planted in my head a while ago. In fact, when I was getting ready to do the Pacific Row, it was in actually postponed by a year because of the COVID pandemic. And at that time, a friend of mine said, there's this race called the Race Across America. And, you know, you're pretty good on the bike. I mean, I had no skill at that point. I probably still don't now, but I was so determined to do the row at that time that I was ready to wait for a year and to make sure that I completed that campaign. But yeah, the seed was planted in my head. So, I guess it is probably about a year ago now that I started to kind of think about that and think about getting a team together and then put out some notifications on a few different, I think it's probably a Facebook page, wasn't it, Danny? Thankfully was introduced to Danny. And then, you know, from there we kind of brought the team together. So we're two in the UK and two in the US. And the countdown has seriously begun. It's looming ever closer and getting pretty exciting.
I feel really lazy.
I'm like, I was thinking about a nap after this.
I'm like, Catherine, I think you have the wrong co-host right now.
Well, I'm laughing when Vicky's like, well, my pedigree is not nearly as deep. And I'm like, I've seen this Guinness Book of World Records on the wall behind her. Sure enough. Ultra marathons across the Arctic Circle. Whatever.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. The team, we were talking about something recently about hygiene and showers. And this is funny. They like, we're going to have an RV and they were talking about showers. And in my head, I'm like, I don't shower. We don't shower. There's no showers. We think, I mean, like the fact that someone has offered me a shower is fantastic. I will not shower. And Vicky's like, I went 23 days wearing the same outfit on the row. And we're like, okay. So Vicky has a PhD in the hygiene section. We're good there.
Yeah. I lost my inhibitions a long time ago when I had to get used to using a bucket for a toilet. Yeah. That was something to get used to. I don't think there'll be anything as unpleasant as that I'll have to face on RAM. At least I hope not.
Yeah. Now, Danny, this is your, you have previously set the record for RAM for the women's team, right?
You are correct. So I currently have the record for the two person female under 50, which I set forever ago. It's now been 11 years. So it was 11 years ago. So a lot's changed. I'm the only thing that's the same is I'm still under 50. But that's the only thing that's the same. But yeah, I have that record, which is, so it's pretty cool to be able to come back 11 years later. And the woman who I rode with, Casey, I think it's just so fun. Her husband is actually coaching, one of our other teammates, Katie. So I just kind of love that, even though she's moved into, she's got twins. She's, moved into a different kind of phase of her life, but I love that kind of a piece of her is still coming along in that her husband is still contributing in a major way. Even though he is 100% would never crew. We didn't even ask him, but we just know. But yeah, I think it's kind of cool that he's still involved. So it's a very small kind of tight knit community in that way.
Yeah. And Katie is the one I was mentioning before we started recording. She's completed the Unbound 200, okay, before. So yeah.
Yes. Was
a little bit of her first toe into ultra.
What does the training for this look like?
Well, I got 180 kilometers under my belt yesterday. I think it's about 115 miles. So there's a lot of volume. For me at least, we're all doing sort of slightly different training plans because we're all, I guess, in different places and having to work on different things. But there are a lot of long rides, just getting used to the kind of time on the saddle. But, we're obviously kind of building our fitness and our strength and our ability to get on the seat and off, in half an hour intervals. So that's something that we're kind of practicing and simulating as well. So, yeah, I think it's different for all of us, isn't it?
It is. It's really kind of fascinating. So we have four different coaches. So all four of us have four different coaches. We also have four different sets of strengths and skills, and we're in four different places. So, just physically, we're just not all the same. And so I think that that's important to kind of note that we all are a little bit different. So my training might look different than Vicky's because of my background versus hers and what she can do versus what I can't do. And it's very, very fascinating. At some point we will all, obviously be coming together and kind of having some good conversations about what that looks like, but the event itself is interesting in terms of how we will ride because we will be paired up into teams of two. And so for 4 hour blocks, we will literally be time trialing, going 100% all out as fast as we can for 30 minutes on and off. And then you take 4 hours completely off with your team and then you just repeat it. So it is a very, very interesting way to train, to prepare yourself for essentially just time trialing across the country. So
there's two of you out there working together, time trialing.
You're leapfrogging each other.
Okay.
So you've got two vans. And okay. So I'm in one van and Katie's in another, and she will ride for 30 minutes. And when she rides for 30 minutes, my van will drive hopefully around 10 miles up the road and I will just wait for her.
And in the meantime, I'll be off my shift with Kaz and we'll be sleeping and eating and recovering and sleeping a bit more until it's time for us to switch over.
And then Danny, give us the stats for Vicky. Like how far is it? Like, where do you start? Where do you end? What's the route-ish?
So it starts in Oceanside in California, and we finish, the finish has changed, hasn't it? But it's now Atlantic City in New Jersey. It's 3,000 miles. There is, I think, 170,000 feet of climbing. We go through 11 states, is that right? 12 states.
Well, now they changed it. So the race used to end historically in Annapolis, but because of construction of the pier, now we end in, so maybe it is 11 states now. You're doing good pulling the stats though.
Am I? I've got it tattooed on the back of my head.
She's read our sponsorship package a lot.
And then Danny, you've done this before, like, is it because I'm like, oh my gosh, you have to like climb up and over the continental, like, right? Like, I've driven across the country, and I'm like, oh my gosh. But then I would imagine like you hit the plains and you're just like battling the wind, and like, what are some of the, you know, are the things that you think are the most challenging, or is it other things that you're like, maybe I didn't think about that?
So I think you're right. There's a tremendous amount of climbing. You know, you start in Oceanside, it's flat, it's hot, and then pretty quickly you hit the desert. And I think people are very, very surprised about the heat. So you go into an area called Borrego Springs, and you descend down a massive descent called the Glass Elevator, and it drops you into the desert.
I'd want to be on that one.
Yeah,
that's my
you would, and it drops you into the desert. It is so hot. It's just so hot. And so there's a few things. One, I think people are very unprepared for how hot the desert is. And then it's just some of the most gorgeous riding in the entire world. I mean, you go through the Four Corners. So you go through the area where it's like Utah, Arizona. I mean, you ride through Monument Valley. You go through a town in Utah called Mexican Hat, where there's red rock formations that look like sombreros. I mean, it's just some of the most gorgeous riding that you've ever been through. And then you get to Colorado, you go through the Rockies, and of course it's gorgeous. And then out of nowhere, you hit a town called Kim, Colorado. And I kid you not, it is flat. It's just like you did all that stuff, and now you can see straight into Kansas. And out of nowhere, you're just in the flattest part of the world. And it's just so, you're just like, wait a second, did I just like get on a spaceship? Like, it's so weird. I think it's just, I mean, when you look back on it, you're like, wow, like all of a sudden you see so many different things. Mm-hmm. And so for people, I'm super excited for people who, for Kaz and Vicky, because they're from the UK. And so this is, I mean, like, they are going to be exploring every little nook and cranny of the United States. So I personally think for a lot of people, like the flatness of Kansas, the nothingness of Kansas, and the wind is very, very difficult. Most people will tell you, even our crew, my brother-in-law said, I will never step foot in the state of Kansas again.
Oh,
I know. I'm so sorry, Christy lives in Kansas, and I didn't know
Dang,
that.
Man.
So Kansas gets a really bad rap, man. They do. So I think that's the part that I think the terrain changes so much. And then as you move across the country, you start to get into the heat and humidity, but then, you know, there's signs of life once you start to get out of Missouri and you go through the Ozarks.
Missouri this time. Sudden,
yeah. So it's pretty cool.
I feel like I feel like I'm mentally ready for that. I cannot tell you that there is nothing more nothingy and being in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Oh yeah, I was going to say, that's flat.
Oh my gosh,
the sea is the same color as the sky. There is literally nothing to look at. So I'm ready for this. It's going to be great.
It does not go through the Flint Hills, Christy. There's nothing.
No, they're south of Emporia. I'm trying to get the map to pull up for the Kansas part, but it's south. So it's not, it is south of where I'm from. But yeah. It's at least anyway, but yeah, you're not hitting the Flint Hills because it's not flat there, but it is flat south. So I'm guessing that's where it is that you're coming through. Anyway, I'm excited to check it out. It's not pulling up the individual. I can see the big picture of the map, but I can't get the individual pages to come up. So anyway, but Kansas is beautiful.
I will say something lovely about Kansas. The wind, when it is favorable, it is beyond favorable. There was a section that I rode through Kansas. I kid you not, I averaged 25 miles an hour and I barely moved my legs.
Yeah. Like,
there is a video of me, and I think the wind just pushed me across the country. So we're hoping for the same favorable, whatever wind gods are out there, please just push us that way.
Push you through Kansas.
Yeah. So we're obviously by our name, you'd probably tell that we are looking to set a new record. So our team name is For the Record, and to do that we have to hit an average speed of 19.7 miles an hour, right? Or is it
19.7 would be amazing, but you just made me a mild panic attack. 19.3,
so it's pretty fast.
Yeah. And how many, like, If you broke the record, what would that, what, how long would it take you to get across the country?
Well, roughly 6 days, 10, 11 hours.
Oh, cool to think about.
That's the current record, yeah.
Yeah.
And it will come down when they come down to like breaking, they come down to like, it comes down to like minutes, hours. Mm. Like Casey and I did it in 8 days, 2 hours and 35 minutes. And I can repeat every stat. Like it will come down to the days and the hours. Wow. It won't just be like, oh, they're going to be roughly 6 hours. Like it will come down to every little bit.
Well, and I think a thing that's really interesting about this, unlike where we follow a lot of, you know, people that are trying to set bike packing records or stuff, but those are all unsupported. And this is very supported, and your support crew actually plays a big role in you breaking the record. So, and it's a pretty big crew. Like tell us about that crew and like what their role is and why none of your friends like me would say yes.
It is. It's really the total opposite of, you know, I was telling you guys earlier that I live on the Tour Divide course, which is probably has to be one of the most unsupported events that I've ever kind of seen. This is the complete and total opposite. It is extremely supported to the point where at night you have to have a follow vehicle behind you, giving you direct, you know, you can't ride at night without the car directly behind you. The RAM rules are very extensive. And so the only thing that we will do is ride our bikes. I will not ask where, I mean, they will just literally put in my little earpiece, say, turn left. I won't question anything. If they tell me to stand on my head, I'll stand on my head. They give us the food. They do everything. So we will end up with a crew roughly of around 11 people because you've got a driver. You have somebody who's sitting in the passenger seat with a route book. There are a lot of turns, believe it or not. There's a lot of route stuff that they have to go through. And then you have usually what's called like a caretaker, somebody who's sitting in the back, preparing the bottles, the food, making sure that you've eaten, reminding you to take medicine, whatever it is you got to do, just a self-care person. And all we do is ride. That's it.
The dream. It's going to make what we're going through at the moment seem like a breeze, isn't it? But I think this is the hardest part of any kind of endeavor like this, where we're obviously trying to pull together teams and crews and sponsorship and promote ourselves, and with aligning with we're fundraising for a charity that I'm an ambassador for called Inspiring Girls, so trying to kind of elevate their messages as well. So there's so much involved. I think when we actually get on the race and all we have to do is
just ride,
sit on the bike and just ride as hard as we can, it will just be bliss.
It's just like the part about riding as hard as you can for 4 hour periods for 6 days.
Well, Catherine, you're thinking about it wrong though. It's not 4 hours. It's only 30 minute pools. So when you think about it like that, then that's not that bad. So then it's only 2 hours of riding.
As hard as you can.
As hard as you can.
Not sleeping a full night. Anyway, I'm amazed. Yeah, I'll be cheering for you from my couch.
That's okay. I seriously just, I'm thinking through this. I'm like, okay, how does that 30 minute pull feel? Like to me, it's always when I'm just getting warmed up is at the end of 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, now I'm warmed up. And then I'd be like, oh, I'm getting off my bike.
I've done a few, I mean, Danny would tell you from firsthand experience of obviously having done this, but for me, just trying to do simulations on my turbo and get out on my bike as well, it's actually more like, what do you do with the half an hour off?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, it's no time at all to do anything remotely useful. So you're just sitting around trying to eat something, but not too much because you don't want to be sick when you get back on the bike. And, you know, it's not long enough to kind of do anything much, but have a quick change of clothes even, which is a massive luxury right now. We obviously won't do that on the race, but yeah, it's a whole new world. But yeah, I definitely getting back on and feeling that lactate build up like instantaneously and trying to kind of push off really hard is tough. Yeah, but that's what it's all about. It's,
I think that for me, you know, I mentioned it's been 11 years. I feel like when I was younger, it was a lot easier. I am definitely built more like a diesel. It takes me a very long time to warm up sometimes in it. And then I can keep that pace for a very long time. And so for me, it's just a different way of training. I mean, you have to train the off on. And like Vicky mentioned, there's just the 30 minutes off goes by very quickly. So you have to sit in the car, the car has to drive, then you have to get out of the car. So when you think about it, it's really weird. Like when you think about the things that will bother you, the van doors open and close so much that the hydraulics will stop working in the van doors. You will step out of the van so many times with your right leg that your right hip will start bothering you. You will put your same leg over your bike so many times that repetitive motion over and over again. In fact, our crew chief today, I just bought a new bike rack. He sent a video to the crew in about how to use the bike rack. And it never occurred to me. He said something to the effect of, we will take bikes off this like 233 times, like a day. Like when you think about it, it's just the repetitive motion over and over again.
I'm not
selling it, are we?
Well, it's just like, I literally, like what you're saying, Danny, makes sense. Like you would have to, I would have to change the way I train.
Oh, sure.
I would just have to mix it completely up. And then the concept of like really trying to use that 4 hours when you're not riding to truly let yourself try to sleep or, you know, eat and then go to sleep or whatever it would look like would be interesting. Like that takes practice too. Naturally in that state, like you have to get yourself. No.
And actually, you know, obviously I do have experience of that. I did that for 60 days where our rowing shift pattern was 3 hours on, 3 hours off. And sometimes it was 4 hours on and 2 hours off. There is absolutely nothing that you can do that's of any value for 2 hours. But in a way, I'm almost thinking like, you know, 60 days is a really long time to start to get used to that new way of living. 6 days is nothing.
You're like, so this will be over before I know it.
No, but I actually think it could be harder to adapt in a sense in a smaller time frame than over a longer period of time, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know, because you're hit almost instantly by fatigue and sleep deprivation, and then you kind of haven't got long enough in a way to adjust and adapt. So it'd be interesting. But I mean, I think Danny's the same. We're all sort of slightly wired weirdly and have a kind of morbid fascination with these things and how the body works and how it adapts and how you're like the mental capacity that you need to do these things is so much more often than the physical anyway. Yeah, but
100%.
Yeah, that was my question for y'all, like what motivates you to go do this?
Well, I think for me, so Vicky, I heard about this effort from Vicky's a Facebook post, and I had really not had RAM on my radar at all. Like you mentioned earlier, Catherine, I had relocated from Atlanta to the middle of nowhere, Wyoming. I was really getting into gravel, obviously where I live, gravel racing is huge out here. And that was like going to be my thing. I was done with like going fast and that was, you know, done with all that. And I am just so incredibly motivated by just the idea of like, why not? And I have found that the older I am, now that I'm in my mid 40s, I am very motivated by continuing to do things that I think can speak to other women about the way that we kind of honor our body as we age and how we can continue to do really amazing things despite our age, in addition to the age. If you would have told me when Casey and I set the 2-person record, if you would have told me that I would be returning to RAM 11 years later, trying to attempt a record, I probably at that age would have been like, oh, there's no way. And it's just kind of fascinating to me that we can still, and Vicky, you know, our team is not young. Kaz is young. I think we can say Kaz is a baby. Kaz is a baby, but our team is not young. Kaz is a baby.
No. So, I think in some ways that will be to our advantage, or let's hope it is. We're a bit, you know, we're perhaps wiser and more experienced and, you know, hopefully a bit calmer in our approach to things than we might have been as younger versions of ourselves. But yeah, I mean, for me, purpose-wise, I guess similar to Danny, you know, I am, as I said, an ambassador for Inspiring Girls, and that's a charity that is really close to my heart. It's all about raising aspirations for young girls around the world. They're in 36 different countries now, I think, and do some amazing projects, just trying to show young girls female role models, women who are out there doing really incredible things. And, you know, the truth is that even in privileged societies, young girls don't necessarily get to see that. They're surrounded by the women that they're surrounded by, and they might be school teachers, and they might be stay-at-home mums, or, you know, they might have the opportunity to come across female politicians or female sports people, but largely, you know, they are surrounded by who they're surrounded by. So this is an opportunity for us to kind of get up on a stage, on a platform, and shout about female participation in endurance sports. And I guess for me personally, because I haven't been in that, I didn't grow up as an athlete or an adventure seeker, really. I've come to this quite late on in my life. Mm-hmm. And then not just for young girls, but for other women as well, to show that that's possible, that, you know, at any stage of your life, you can take on anything you want. Like, I wasn't a rower before I rode across the Pacific. I'm certainly not a cyclist yet. I'm not even a runner, and I've run 250 kilometers across hostile environments. You know, so for me, the thing that drives me is showing people that anything is possible if you put your mind to it. And it's kind of just not enough to say, oh, I'm not that kind of person. Well, you can be whoever you want to be. So if I can embody that through stuff like this, then that's, to me, you know, I'll be a very happy old lady.
Well, now we're all ready to sign up.
in that, for me, like, when I met Vicky, it became very obvious that, like, we are long lost. Like, she's my long lost, like, British sister. I was like, oh my gosh. I remember telling my husband, I was like, she's just like me with an accent. Like, we don't use the same words. Like, I say y'all and she says a lot of not other y'all. Amazing fun terms that she's constantly, her and Kaz are constantly, you know, using words that we don't, that Katie and I are, it's funny because Katie's from the Midwest, so she doesn't use any of the southern dialect that I use, but it was just, we very much were, I think, aligned in that, you know, you want to be a cheetah, all right, cool, go paint spots on yourself. Like, that's it. Like, there's just, you know, that whole belief that it doesn't, you can, you know, I can't do something has always, it's been unacceptable to me. I don't let my employees tell me that. Like, I don't let somebody tell me I don't know how to do that. That's just not how I am. And so it applies to all areas of my life. And when I met Vicky, I was like, I am absolutely 100% aligned with this person in just a lot of the ways that we approach life and training and belief and, you know,
and not washing ourselves.
Yeah.
So hygiene.
Not showering.
Not showering, the hygiene stuff when they were talking, I was like, showers.
You're just gonna get stinky again anyway. Tell us a little, you mentioned Katie and Kaz. Tell us a little bit about them and how you talked them into this.
Yeah, so Katie was the last to join our team recently. I'll let Danny talk to you about Katie because she knows her really well. Kaz, amazingly, coincidentally, lives about 3 miles down the road from me here in London, which is just phenomenal because that means that we get to ride together and hang out together and get to know each other. So Kaz is a bike packing ultra cyclist. So she's done all sorts of crazy stuff that isn't even on my radar. It's so nuts, like Trans Pyrenees. And I mean, she's done like the race across Rwanda and various other phenomenal events. So Kaz is no stranger to cycling many, many miles, sleeping by the side of a road, dealing with her own mechanicals and just generally being a badass. She's also an incredible artist, which is bit of a hidden talent. So she paints and we've benefited from her design skills on many occasions already. So that's really exciting. And I love the fact that we are two in the UK and two in the US.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's just cool. And I love it. We're a great team. Danny, you could talk about Katie.
Yeah, I just want to shout out to Kaz because she literally rides across, like, she'll just be like, oh, I'm going to be in so-and-so country. And she has like her whole life on the bike with her. And just, she's the total opposite of how like a triathletes are used to, just, you know, a lot of things being, we have a very cushioned life. And she casts and she's like, oh, whatever. So we're just, she's amazing. Our fourth teammate, interestingly, is a woman, Katie, who I have known from our time in Atlanta. Katie is hands down the most consistent grinder I have ever met in my entire life. I could probably tell you where Katie is right now, just based on my schedule. I knew every single Monday morning where she was going to be at the pool. She just is in a very consistent person. She's done 17 Ironmans. She takes care of herself. She didn't get hurt. She shows up. When I was training for Epic 5, Katie would ride with me all the time. She would show up anywhere I wanted to ride. She would ride any of the miles that I was riding. She would just be there. She's just consistent. I mean, she is absolutely one of the most consistent humans I've ever met. And as a result of that consistency, she's a beast. I mean, she just shows up and does the work and
gets it done.
She gets it done. She's just so consistent. So,
And actually, even in other aspects of the overall effort or project, you know, it's not, people always say to us, how's the training going? That's like the number one question. And, you know, truth be told, if that was all we got to do, it would be heaven. Like, there's so many other aspects of this involved. And Katie will kind of, she'll be so quiet for ages, won't she? And then she'll suddenly kind of pop up and she's got like 15 things that she's done and 17 introductions that she's made and new sponsorships that she's secured. And we're like, oh my God, you know, she's a real, like, I obviously haven't met her in person. I can't wait to do that. But she's a real like head down as far as I can tell. And she just gets shit done and then kind of shows up and is just like, no ego, just like, oh yeah, I kind of had this chat with this person and, oh, well, we've got helmets and we've got saddles and we've got, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, she's super unassuming. I wouldn't bet against her though. Like, that's my thing with her. And I know Catherine's ridden with her. And that's the thing about that Vicky mentioned. We have had to stretch in ways that, you know, the training has been the easy part, especially for somebody like me and Katie and who have had a long history of riding together. We know each other really well. We're very comfortable with each other on the bike. It's the other stuff, like the social media post, having to remember to take videos and different like things that we're not good at, asking people for money. That's the stuff that has really stretched us. I like to tell people the trick is being comfortable, being uncomfortable. And there are a lot of opportunities for me to practice being uncomfortable leading up to this event, in a lot of different ways. And so we are out there, we are stretching.
Awesome.
And I'd like to think that those are also the elements. I know that your listeners are probably really mostly interested in, you know, cycling and our training and all of that kind of stuff, but those are the elements that, you know, really test your mettle and require you to kind of show up in all sorts of different ways. So that I think hopefully what we're doing is therefore relatable, not just to aspiring athletes and people who are already avid cyclists, but to literally anyone, to just show kind of, if you want to achieve something amazing, it takes grit and it takes hard work and it takes commitment and it takes great teamship. But you know, that pays off in so many ways, because I've already learned so much and gained so much and, you know, got three new friendships and all the other people that we're meeting along the way. So, you know, I think it's important to draw those other elements out. So it's not just about the kind of physical endeavor.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I love that. And I, you know, like, you all work too. It's not like you're professional athletes doing this. No. So I know Katie's an engineer. Danny works in real estate. I'm not sure, Vicky, what you and Cass do, but it's
Yeah, we have full-time jobs. Yeah, Cass actually works for charity. She's in fundraising, so that's pretty handy. I'm largely I do motivational speaking, coaching, mentorship. So yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty busy schedules, really.
Yeah. Well, if people want to support you and find out more about you and follow this journey, it's in June. You all ride, what's the start date?
June 15th, right?
So June 15th from Oceanside, they can follow you. There's a dot tracker on RAM. And then you also have a social media account called?
That's For the Record _.
Okay. For the Record, we'll put it in the show notes. And then I'm assuming you all have personal social media accounts as well if people want to follow you there. Yeah. Vicky, what's your social media? Where can they find
Vicky,
you?
It's Vicky Anstey, VickiAnstey.
Awesome. Danny?
Hey, this is just, I don't know. This is why I, this is the, what I'm the worst at. I don't
know. We'll put it in the show notes. I think it's Danny Grable.
No, it's not. I don't think.
I just looked it up a second ago. Hold on.
Did you change it?
I'm just really terrible.
Oh, yeah, you changed it.
Yeah. See how bad I am?
This is why Danny's not in charge of social media. we also have a website, so if anyone wanted to visit that to get a bit more information about our endeavor and how they could sponsor, so that's www.fortherecord.co.uk.
And you are, if anybody out there has some time this summer, you're looking for a medical professional and a bike mechanic to join the crew, right? So just in case.
Somebody... It is an all expense paid trip across the entire country.
I have a female bike mechanic that's really good. I'm going to ask her. Maybe she would join you guys, which would be
amazing because our other bike mechanic is also a female.
That would be really rad. Well, we can't wait to hear more about this journey and follow you this summer. And then Danny, see you on the gravel scene. Vicky, you may come over to the US and be like, oh, I got to do this gravel thing as well. So it's growing in Europe like crazy.
Yeah. So. You never know. I might just get stuck on cycling for the rest of my life.
There you go. It happens. It does happen. Well, thank you, Vicky, for being up late to join us and for taking the time to chat with us today. We are really excited about your journey.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
You have been listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast. This podcast is edited and produced by the team at Live Feisty Media. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating. It really helps other women find the podcast. And be sure to follow us at Girls Gone Gravel on Instagram or Facebook.